Psalm 101 today. I was thinking there as Brother Al was speaking of Balaam, and Balaam was a man that came to recognize that man's free will was not worth a whole lot. He confessed of the absolute sovereignty of God. But the difference between what Balaam confessed and what true faith and love for Christ expresses is Balaam knew that God's will would be done in the earth as well as the heavens. Just like the devil himself knows that to be a fact, as he's seen it demonstrated time and time again, but he did not love it. That was the thing about Balaam. I mean, he knew that he couldn't bless or he couldn't curse Israel, but he didn't love the fact that he couldn't curse Israel. He wanted to curse Israel. He had within his heart to curse Israel, but he couldn't do any different. And such is, you know, just because a man says he believes God's sovereign doesn't mean a whole lot. But if he loves the fact that God's sovereign, that means something. Because only the Lord can cause a man to delight in the will of God being done in the earth, because that's what the Lord told us to pray, was it not? Thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. That's the desire of the people of God, is to see the will of God done. And so that's one of the elements of a false prophet is not so much that he might not say the things that those who speak the truth say, but that he does not desire. That's what the scripture says. They receive not a love of the truth that they might be saved. It wasn't that they didn't receive the truth. It wasn't that they didn't know what the truth was. See, just knowing the truth is not of any use whatsoever. We desire that the Lord will give us a love for the truth, because therein is found the work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of his people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, all men are going to be willing. I mean, Judas was willing to do what he did, was he not? I mean, all men are willing to do what they do. Everything man does, he does because he wills to do it. A man can't say, well, I didn't mean to do it. Well, he might not have done it if he'd have thought about it long enough. He might have done different, but he did do what he did because he wanted to do it. He willed to do it at the moment and time in which he did. And only by the grace of God can he cause us to love the way of God and to delight in his will. Now in Psalm 101, this is a psalm of David, and it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, no doubt David speaks here of his own experience in a measure and in his understanding. He speaks of his own experience. But yet, again, as I believe all of the Psalms, these are indeed, this is descriptive of Christ. These are the words of Christ as he speaks as that perfect man. Because in him really is all of these things met, and none of them are not complete in their fulfillment. Anytime that a man should come and say the things that are said in this psalm, he has to equivocate a little bit, and he has to do so in a measured way. In other words, he can't say that wholeheartedly, because we know, if we know anything about our own heart, that there's many things said in this psalm that wouldn't apply to us completely. Now, as Paul said, these things we desire to do because the Spirit of God puts in it, but we find within our heart that which we don't do, even though we know that, even though we do desire to do it. A desire to do the good will of God is a good thing. You know, I hope to have a desire to do the will of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ not only had a will and a desire to do the will of God, but he did the will of God. And so that is the place to which the Lord has called us and to which we aspire. But only Christ has ever done that. That is, done the will of God perfectly, done the will of God completely, without any equivocation. Now, when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you don't have to say but. Because all the things that Christ did, he did completely and fully and perfectly. And so he begins by saying, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now, you know, those two things seem not to necessarily coincide with one another, but yet they are met together in Christ, mercy and judgment. Because, you know, when a man comes to the place of judgment, he desires mercy. But judgment, the place of judgment, is not a place of mercy. There's no mercy in the law. There's no mercy in the judgment of God. But the mercy, there is mercy with the Lord, as we read in the Scripture. Otherwise, we would have no hope whatsoever. But the Lord doesn't lay aside his judgment in order to show mercy, but he fulfills the judgment in order that the judgment might be true as well as the mercy. Because the mercy is that which moved Christ to come into the world to die in our behalf. But brethren, it is the judgment of God that causes that which Christ has done to be applied to us. Because you see, in mercy the Lord chose us. In mercy, the Lord saved us. But in his judgment is the basis upon which we stand with him. See, this isn't done on whim. Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins of his people. And the judgment of God demands that if those sins be paid for, then those whose sins are paid for must go free. Because there's nothing that the law has that can condemn them. That's why Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. See, there's none. There cannot be any. Why? Because Christ has satisfied that. So I will sing of mercy. I will sing of mercy, but I will also sing of judgment. And as we come this morning to remember the Lord's death till he comes again, we remember mercy and judgment. Because we see both demonstrated here. Judgment upon the Son of God, but mercy to the children of God. Oh, what a glorious thing. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now, who has designed such a thing? Who could have thought up such a thing? I mean, there's nothing that seems more, I guess, out of place or ridiculous to the men of this world than the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said this is an offense unto the world. You know, men want to have something that they can bring before God. They want to present something to God. Just like Cain, he wanted to present something to God. He wanted God to see what he had done with the labor of his hands. But there's nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring, as Top Lady said in his song. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. But we will sing unto thee, O Lord, because he alone is the one who provides these things. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. And who else but Christ could indeed do that or has done that? He said, I'll behave myself wisely. Oh, how foolish we are. See, nothing that Christ ever did you could say was foolish. But we look at our own life. I look at the things I've done and attempted in my life, and I think, how foolish. You know, what silliness has gripped my mind? Why on earth would I do that? You know, it's like a moth that flies around the candle. And he just flies and gets a little closer all the time till he gets too close. And the fire burns his wings off, and then he crashes to the earth. And that's the way that men are by nature. You know, we're silly, we're foolish. We have no perfect way before the Lord. But the Lord said, I will behave myself perfectly or wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Now we would foolishly say, oh Lord, when will you come and visit us? Why should he? But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, he had in that sense, he had the right to say that, did he not? Because he had walked perfectly before the Lord. Yet he understood that willingly he gave himself up to this. And yet the anguish of it was no less than that of a man who had no fault before God. And he cried out, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've walked perfectly before thee. But yet, because of the fact that he took upon himself our sin, and he understood the weight of that sin in our behalf, and he knew he was forsaken, even as we would be, if it was not that he had done so in our behalf. Oh, when wilt thou come to me? Because you see, that's his desire, is to come unto the Lord, and the Lord to come unto him, to visit him, to fellowship with him. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, that's the mark of the truth of God being put within a man's when he walks within his house with a perfect heart. Because, you know, when nobody sees us, when we're out of the glaring lights of other men looking upon us, what is in our secret thoughts, in those things wherein men with prying eyes do not see? The Lord Jesus Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth. There was no deceit within him. What you see is what you get. Now, that's not always true with us, is it? I mean, how often we put on a front for somebody else to see, and we want somebody to look on us, not as we are, but as we want them to think that we are. That's what religion is, you see. It is that which men adopt because they want men to see them in that light. They're religious men. They're good men. They're upright men. That's how men like to be seen, is it not? The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. In other words, there won't be any shadow of turning with me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Those that turn back. The Lord said, if a man puts his hand to the plow and looking back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. That is, turned aside. That he doesn't have singleness of purpose. But he's looking to the right and to the left. Now, anybody that's ever plowed knows what that means. That if you put your hand to the plow and you start looking back, pretty soon you're going to be out of the row. I mean, you know, you can go by a field where somebody that wasn't paying attention to what they're doing was, and the rows will be crooked. But you know, when a man's eye is single, then the road will be straight. When he has one object in view and he goes to that object, and he doesn't go to the right or doesn't go to the left. And so the Lord said that I hate the work of them that turn aside, that is, that turn away, that do not perfectly walk in the way of the Lord. He said, it shall not cleave to me. That is, that's not the way that I am. Now, oh, that we, that's our desire, is it not? But the Lord Jesus Christ is that example who set forth the fact that he did not turn to the right or to the left. But the scripture says that for the joy that was set before him, in other words, he had that object in view, the redemption of his people. That's why he went to the cross, was in order to pay the price for their sin and for the joy. You see, he endured the cross. The cross was not a good thing insofar as what men understand to be. He didn't enjoy the cross. The scripture says he endured the shame. He endured the cross. It was a thing that was painful, and the anguish and heartache of being separated from God because of the fact that he was hung on a tree. What does the scripture say? Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And that's the place that he was in our behalf. But for the joy that was set before him, because that thing was set out there, and his mind and heart was not turned aside. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Now, froward heart, froward is a word we don't use much, but it means perfect. It means perverted. It means that which is not pure. And he says, a froward heart shall depart from me. See, a man who has no desire for purity is not going to cling unto Christ. I mean, when a man is seeking out the wickedness of this world, he's not seeking out Christ. If Christ is not set before him, his mind is not set upon those things that Christ has spoken of here. A froward heart shall depart from me. He says, I won't know a wicked person. I'll put them out of my sight. Now, we think of that for a moment. And the fact that the scripture says that the Pharisees, the thing that they spoke evil of Christ was, they said, well, he's the friend of sinners and publicans. They said, this man companyeth with sinners and publicans. But you see, when the scripture says that the Lord says, I will not know a wicked person, it means he would not love them in the sense that he would embrace their wickedness. The Lord didn't embrace the wickedness of the woman taken in adultery that was brought before him. He didn't know her in that sense, but he loved her. So the Lord loves a people that are less than perfect, but he will not know a wicked person, that is, a person who thinks themselves to be righteous. See, that's what a wicked person is before Almighty God, is not a person who has sin, but is a person who thinks he does not have sin. See, that's the greatest wickedness that a man can ever express before Almighty God, is to come as the Pharisee did. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I'm not like this old publican over here. But see, the Lord didn't know him. But the old publican that just cried out, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the Lord did know him, did he not? So what is wickedness before God? Wickedness before God is not the things that men in their morality often count as being wicked, but it is in the regard that a man has unto himself before Almighty God. If a man thinks himself to be righteous, then that man is wicked. And the Lord will not know the wicked. He will not embrace the wicked. Why did he company with publicans and sinners? Because they knew themselves to be wicked. I mean, when he met Zacchaeus on the road, and Zacchaeus was up in the tree, why did Zacchaeus get up in the tree? Because he wanted to see Christ. Because he knew that he needed something that Christ had. He didn't know what it was. But the Lord met with him. The Lord knew Zacchaeus. I don't know that he'd ever met Zacchaeus, but he said, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus probably said, well, how did he know who I was? We said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Oh, the Lord doesn't know the wicked, but he does know sinners, does he not? He said he came to save sinners. That's a glorious thing. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Again, that's exactly the same thing that we spoke of there. I mean, the man with a proud heart, he will not have any time for him. Pride goeth before a fall, haughty spirit before destruction. Because the Lord will not have anything to do with the man who's proud. Proud look, he said he hated. It was one of the seven things he said that he hated. Whoso slandereth his neighbor, speaks evil of them. You ever done that? Huh? Oh, how easy it is to find ourselves speaking evil of our neighbor even without even thinking about it. You know, just by nature. I mean, if our neighbor, you know, doesn't do something that we think he ought to have done, and we think in our mind some evil thought to warn him. Lord said he'd cut off such people as that. How are we going to ever stand before him? I tell you, we couldn't. Were it not that he is that one who has not slandered his neighbor or thought evil of those. He alone is that one who gives us a place of standing. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Now, you know, there's only one way that a man can walk in a perfect way, and that's to be found in Christ, who walked in a perfect way. And yet the Lord says here, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Are you the faithful? I mean, when you look in the mirror every morning and you see yourself, say, buddy, I'm faithful. No. Dear brethren, the faithful are those that look in the mirror every morning and lament the fact that they're not faithful. Because you see, the world will never understand this. That those whom the Lord calls and sends His Spirit to convince them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, they can't find any of these things within themselves. I mean, when you look at the Scripture and you see what the Lord demands, a clean heart and a pure mind, the man that's not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, and when you see that that's the ones that's going to enter into the presence of the Lord, and you look at yourself and you say, oh my, woe is me. I can't enter into the presence of the Lord. But you see, that's not the faithful. The faithful are not those that go around and think that they have done all these things, and oh Lord, we're going to serve you today and be faithful. No, it's that they know themselves to be without these things, and their faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. It is in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, therein is our faith. See, faith's not an activity. People think about faith as being an activity, and there is a measure in which we can speak of faith as an activity. But faith is not what somebody does. Faith is that which wherein a man relies. See, Christ is our faith. He's that one upon whom we believe. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't just say, I have believed. He said, Christ is my faith. He's that one upon whom all my hopes are built. We come here this morning to remember his death till he comes again. Why? Because that is our faith. We don't have anything else. I mean, we certainly, when we look at ourselves, we despair of ever entering into the presence of God. But when we see this, our faith is made plain to us because Christ is our faith. So his eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. You see, he sees his people. You know how a father or mother looks on their child and they just see them. They see all, everybody's child is a special child. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're probably going to find the cure to cancer before they're 20, and they're going to do all great things. And, you know, a mother or father looks at his child and they just see all the wonder of their, what they are. Well, that's, you know, that's how Christ sees his children. He's pleased with his children. He loves his children. And he says, my children are faithful because he causes them to be faithful. He causes them to trust him. Oh, what a glorious thing. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land that they may dwell with me. What did he say to his disciples? He says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. He delights to dwell with his people. Christ hath a garden walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground. A little spot enclosed by grace out of the world's wide wilderness. That's the place where Christ is pleased to dwell. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful, that they may dwell with me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You see, the kingdom of God's about truth. It's not about putting on. The Pharisees, they like to put on. I mean, if you'd have looked at the Pharisees, or you looked at the publicans and the harlots and all of these other people out here, and you said, well, which is the kingdom of God made up of? You said, the Pharisees. I mean, you know, all these religious people that's going to church every Sunday and doing all these things, great and mighty works. I mean, those are the righteous people, are they not? Isn't that what the religions of the world tell us? These are the good folks. I mean, these are the folks that's, you know, right in there with the Lord. Not so. If it be not founded in truth. Because you see, the Lord desired truth where? In the inward parts. He said to the woman at the well, she said, well, you know, which is the best place to worship? Is it the Baptist church or is it the Methodist church? The Lord said, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, neither here nor there. He said, but God would have men to worship him in spirit and truth. And that's how he causes his people to worship him, in truth. And the Lord said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. There's nothing that you can fake before God. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. He knows that we're, in fact, when you read over here, In the book of the Revelation, and I believe it's around chapter 21, it says, all liars shall be cast out into the lake of fire. Now, there's not a person in this room that's not told a lie. You probably told one today. You know, of some kind or another. If you didn't lie to somebody else, you lied to yourself about something. And all liars, he said, shall be cast away from him. But grace, thanks be unto God for his grace, that his grace covers our sin. And he does not look on those that trust him as being liars. Why? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if we be found in him, dear brethren, we're not a liar because he's the truth. Everything else outside of him is not the truth. So, you know, those are the ones who are cast out of his presence, is those that are not found in the truth. They're liars. Any man who says that you can arrive at the throne of God through any other means than through Christ is a liar. He's a deceiver. It doesn't make any difference how good it sounds, how much it makes a man in the flesh feel like he's accomplished something. Without Christ, all shall perish. they shall not tarry in his sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. The Lord will make a separation between the sheep and the goats. And he will cut off the wicked. He comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. How can a man know God? He can't. There's only one way in which the Lord has been pleased to reveal himself unto men. He walked among us as a man born of a woman, clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh. He walked among us. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He is our hope. He is our hope, our expectation. He's the truth which we seek. And any man who stands in any other thing that he may call the truth and not stand in Christ, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. May the Lord help us.